Hello, and welcome to A Marvelous Lunch Break. On today's show, Professor Xavier is having memory problems as he struggles to recall one enjoyable scene since X-Men 2. Logan's hiding out in Mexico, and it's not long before his penchant for stuffed taco is revealed. And finally, sun's out, guns out for Pierce, but Caliban finds out he's almost definitely not beach body ready. All this and more on today's pod. Joining me today, as always, Miss Marvel herself, Anna Harrison.
Hello.
How you doing?
Yeah, really good.
And, of course, Agent Martin Carter.
I have fatigue.
You have fatigue?
Fatigue?
I have Wolvie fatigue.
Oh, dear.
I think I had that in, like, X3, but, you know, we're still here.
Are you both all right?
We've got so many more left to go.
are you both feeling good since the Wolverine, then?
I feel so much better since the Wolverine, to be honest.
Yeah?
Like, this, I needed this.
Wow.
That
can't become a thing. Every time someone says wow, geez, let's tone that down.
Do you know what? On reflection, I think I like the Wolverine more.
Oh my god.
Stinger.
But we'll talk about that at some point, right?
Okay, we'll loop back in with you in a few minutes. Hello as well to all our listeners this week from around the world, whether you're returning or you're new. But if you are new and this is the first time you're tuning in, please remember there are spoilers, or remember, we've never told you before, please note that there are spoilers in this podcast. And also, if you listen to this, review it, subscribe it. Also, you can drop onto our still, is it still kind of new? It's still kind of new Instagram.
It's still new,
new-ish, yeah.
It's growing.
It's growing. Slowly but surely.
Slowly.
Hey, you want to get like, on that hot Instagram ride
like,
right now.
Like a small lump you would ignore for months before seeing the doctor. Just growing slowly.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dear.
Sorry, just me.
I thought you might say growing slowly like Wolverine, you know, who's really old.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, do that one instead. Cut me out.
Okay.
Can I read my comment?
Oh, my God. In a minute.
All right.
In a minute. Well, fine, read out your comment.
Well, it's about me mainly,
okay,
so
yeah,
that's
right. Okay,
so I want to give a shout out to Michelle, who I think you pronounce your surname Bernie. So it's B-I-R-N-I-E, Bernie, Bruni. So she wishes a belated happy birthday, and she watched our birthday episode, and she said, Martin, your MCU segment was my absolute fave. So of all the things we've ever done, that was her absolute favorite, which I think means that I should get my own segment.
Well, you know, you've had, like, so many opportunities to come up with your own segment.
But I just like interrupting your segments. I think that's my thing.
That's fine.
So then she says, can't wait to get through the first two Wolverine movies. I think we're all on the same page there, Michelle. Well, we're out of that now. And she says, they're terrible. She says, I'll watch Logan along with you, though. Thumbs up. So hopefully you've watched it, Michelle, and you are listening along with us.
Yeah, and if you've not watched it, stop right now. Go watch it and then come back and listen.
Yeah, spoilers abound.
And tell us your thoughts about it. I mean, it's too late to get your thoughts for this episode, but
you can still tell us.
You can still tell us, and we'll echo that in future episodes. So, if you haven't figured it out already, we've been watching 2017's Logan. And wow.
I can't.
We're going to give you a brief roundup of it, though. Anna, are you ready for this?
Oh, man. Okay. Yes.
Well, can I just point out that I can see Anna's script.
Oh, dear.
She has crossed out several sentences, which I think she's feeling a bit nervy about not hitting that 1 minute mark.
So, Anna, you do a lightning fast 1 minute roundup of the movie.
The entire movie.
You do this every week.
Yep.
But the past 2 weeks, you haven't been able to finish your chat in the allotted time. So, if anyone wants to see what these look like in person, you can head over onto our Instagram. There's video clips of Anna. I mean, I was going to say Anna doing these, but I should say attempting to do these.
Shut it.
Brutal.
And if we said on the last episode, if you fail this, you're 3 for 3.
Don't you point at me.
And it gets handed over to Martin. And let me remind you, in the 1 year anniversary episode, Martin, you smashed it.
It's true. So you guys both did it faster than me.
But I think this probably says quite a lot about me, but I don't have any perseverance. I can manage 12 seconds. A minute is not going to be sustainable.
You end quick. That's how it is.
Right, let's get this out of the
go. So you've got the camera on the go. I'm getting the timer on the go. Anna, if I do a little cheering and chatting near the end, just don't pay attention until I say 3, 2, 1, stop.
What?
At the end.
No, you just say stop. I'm not having this 3-2-1.
I did a little 3-2-1
in
the last time.
I think that put her off last time.
Oh, come on. You were like two sentences from the end.
Yeah, I was really off last time.
Right, okay, fine. I'll just do a like, stop at the end.
Okay.
A vocal cue.
Okay.
Stopwatch. Resetting.
But you're doing 3-2-1 go, right?
What do you want?
Yes.
I want this to be prime conditions for you.
Okay, 3-2-1 go. I start talking.
Okay, 3-2-1 go.
No flashback. Straight in. Old man Logan rages on some carjackers after they wake him up from his nap. He's rickety and slow to heal, but still slays. After Uber driving montage, Jack Draco Malfoy slides into the back seat for a threatening chat. He's on the hunt for a renegade nurse and her surly ward, who is in fact a little Wolverine clone on the run from to Mystical Eden. But Logan's got zero interest, too busy caretaking nonagenarian Professor X, whose mighty brain is now a straight up curse. But after nurse is murdered, surly ward Laura shows up with JDM hot on her heels, but she does not give a damn and proceeds to fucking slay. Decapitation, little knuckle claws, ineffectual gunfire, toe claws. Wolverine finally lends a hand. They all escape except for poor Caliban. Now on the worst road trip ever, they take a break to save horses and doom a lovely farm family. Heartwarming homestead times meets a brutal end as evil Wolvie clone cruelly slays Professor X and the farm family. And now it's Wolvie and Wolvie showdown. Logan and Laura only just escape as Caliban teaches JDM to beware the light. One terrible funeral and roadside meltdown later, Laura is finally reunited with the lab mutant kids. Despite his new retro facial hair, Logan bails on the kids until JDM and his posse descend on the run for the border. After shooting himself full of green goo, it's time for a final Wolverine range run through the woods. Father-daughter team up, mutant baby powers, epic clone battle, bad guy comeuppance. Our scruffy hero is victorious but pays the ultimate price. And
stop! Your finger was like at the bottom of that piece of paper.
I can't believe that. I did that.
There.
I did that in 45 seconds on my practice runs. I really stumbled over some words.
I didn't understand a word you said.
Oh my god.
That was like... That was.
I was so sure I
had
this.
That was the fastest.
I had worst road trip ever.
I had green goo.
That is gutting. I was so sure I had this one. My two previous runs, I had 45 seconds and 52 seconds.
45, 52, but you jangled your words up. Now you're paying the price.
I really jangled my words up. Oh, I'm gutted. I'm absolutely gutted.
You know what? These Wolverine movies have not been kind to you.
No.
And they've not been kind for me either.
I think we just compartmentalize those and you start afresh with the new X trilogy that's coming up.
X-Men First Class.
X-Men First
Class. Will be next.
Okay.
And maybe just do it in like a haiku. Yeah. We could have a haiku segment.
Yeah.
Do you want to? No, we can't. This isn't like a fast talking poetry podcast. That's a different Marvel
podcast. Spit some bars.
Don't ever say that ever again. Jeez, we just lost our youth audience. Just went out the door. Or one of them.
I'm sorry, Arnold.
Oh, I'm heartbroken.
Can you finish? Can you? What was you? He died, hadn't he?
Yeah.
I got that.
So like my last line is literally
across the border.
Our scruffy hero is victorious, but pays the ultimate price, and with a wish for a better life for Laura, the Wolverine is off to the big X school in the sky.
Oh.
Wow. All
right. Yes, I'm packaging these up, putting them behind me. I'm gonna return a better Anna. In the next,
speaking of packaging then, what have we got in front of us? So you've been treating us to a little lunch break snack over the past few episodes.
Have you ever seen that meme of that kid who really wants snacks? And she just goes, snacks. Snacks.
No. Is it like the girl who says that she smells like beef? Is that the same one?
I smell like beef. Yeah.
Snacks. Right, so tell us all about these snacks.
So, well, to be a bit more in line with Dan's quest to cut sugar from his life. We can't go into it here. Follow him on Instagram to hear that whole saga.
Why can't we go into it here?
Oh, my God. Never end.
Can you hear
that? Don't eye roll. Come on. I'm quitting sugar.
You've literally quit sugar for like 3 days, and I feel like that's all you've ever talked about.
Actually, it's 5 days.
Right.
Okay. Dan will give his Instagram details at the end of the show. Hear about his sugar saga then.
Nipping that in the bud.
Yeah.
But that being said, I have taken this into account. So what I've got here is a Sensations street mix inspired by Bangkok. So we've got sweet chili crackers, coconut flakes, creamy cashews, Thai lime flavored green snaps.
So we're really going for that Mexican vibe to tie in with the film.
Yeah. Oh man, there were some Mexican ones, but they didn't look as good.
They make
as that.
A good sound. Oh, I heard that crunch in my ear then.
So is this like wasabi sort of?
Wasabi flavor? Is not.
Oh god, that's a lot.
I think you're going the wrong Asian destination for
wasabi. No, look how green they look like they've been flavored.
Yeah, I think they do have a bit of wasabi in them. And then the ultimate
showpiece.
Yeah, it's really good, isn't it? Although I know I didn't go with the Mexican. But now I just totally forgot when I was picking them.
Oh, it's like a Thai green curry.
Yeah.
Like
crispy green snaps with a tang of lime.
Put a bit of the green in with a bit of the coconut. It's like a Thai.
Okay,
they are incredible.
I'll have a little handful.
It's really good.
I can allow myself a little handful.
But the most important bit I've brought in is Choco Logic, which is Belgian milk chocolate buttons, but with no added sugar. These are for you, Dan. These have 60% less sugar than most chocolate buttons. I think they're just going to taste like kind of crap chocolate buttons, but I brought them in with love, so there we go.
When I was little...
Oh, wow, they're big. Look at the size of it.
They're massive.
It's like a dinner plate.
When I was little, they... we used to do chocolate buttons for rabbits. Do you remember those? Like little... So I found them in my friend's drawer at home, and I thought they were human ones. So I ate an entire bag of milk buttons for rabbits. That's what I imagine this is going to taste like.
It's amazing. Okay.
So where are these from? Are these from like a speciality food shop or something like that?
Nah, Morrison's down the road.
Wow.
Okay. There.
I'm going in.
They're all right. I mean,
okay. They've got like an air of the diabetic, haven't they?
Yes, they do. Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good description.
Air of the diabetic. This potion needs one air of the diabetic.
Oh, I thought it'd be more like a scent. Like,
oh, right.
Oh, she's not well. She's got an air of the diabetic.
Oh, dear. Okay. You guys enjoy your snacks.
Mm.
And with whatever space you've got left in your mouth, you give me a cheer or a boo for this very short cast.
All right.
Now, I've really kept it to just the people who had maybe more than a minute screen time. We've got... Returning, Hugh Jackman as Logan.
Woo!
Fine.
Oh, just because he's not getting his fucking shirt off as much in this one. Come on. Every other episode, you've been like, yeah!
Yeah, ask me again when he's in that waterbed in Days of Future Past. Ooh, then we'll talk.
Charles Xavier as Patrick Stewart.
Heartbreaking. Yes.
But what great acting.
Oh, so good.
Isn't he good?
Masterful. Oh, yeah.
Daphne Keane.
Yes.
As little Wolverine.
We are not worthy. She's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Has she been in anything since? Is she like an up-and-coming rising star? Or?
I think she's been in
a couple of things.
A couple of things. Nothing as sort of front and center as this.
She is still quite very young, and this movie isn't that old.
Mm. No, 2017?
Yeah, so like...
And she had to carry a lot of the emotional weight of this film, didn't she?
And not saying hardly anything through the whole film as well. Like, really holding her own with Patrick Stewart and Hugh Jackman, who have, you know, lived these roles for years and years. And she made their perfect little trio just come together beautifully. Their weird family.
Laura. Boyd Holbrook as Pierce.
Ah, Jack Draco Malfoy, yeah.
Metal Art, what?
That's what I called him in my thing. Jack.
We didn't
understand.
I know him because he was in Narcos, that Netflix show.
Ah.
And he's sick.
Okay, yeah.
Really cool.
Did Wolverine cut off his hand?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, maybe Laura did at some point.
Or maybe historically, yeah, because he didn't really know, but...
Yeah.
He turned up with the metal hand, even in the flashback bits.
That's true.
I thought Logan had cut it off at some point in his like years of fighting.
Because there are a few other mercs who had those sort of like augmentation.
Yeah, everyone's like chop an arm off, chop a leg off.
Yeah, which I quite liked. I liked that it wasn't like a thing. It wasn't like here's my super arm. It was just a new, didn't he? Yeah, it's just a new level of prosthetics, really.
We'll get into it later on, but maybe that's something to do with the lab that they were at, where some of them had also been experimented on.
Maybe.
You know, they were promised, like, upgrades in the similar way that, like, Wolverine had been promised extra power. We've got Stephen Merchant as Caliban.
Yes.
No.
Oh, what?
No, get out.
I really, really don't like...
Go on a different podcast.
Can I finish my point, please? Yes. Or shall I just be... Yes. Shall I be the silent little baby Wolverine? Is that my role?
Your segment is to be quiet.
Right.
Oh, man.
Your segment is to be obnoxious. It really pulls me out of a film when they drop in. And I think it must be like an American casting thing where they don't really recognise like the televisual history that some of these kind of up-and-coming British actors have.
Mm.
And they drop them in, like James Corden's another one. Like, obviously, America loves Jim Corden. They'll drop him in it, and I just think of like Gavin and Stacey or The Office.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just like, that's the only, and it, obviously that's unfair on the actor that they're pigeonholing these roles. But when he turns up and he's like in this like weird albino sunscreen mask thing, like looking
comedy.
Like a Mad Max extra. I'm just like, it just pulls me out. Like everything else in this film is like really pulls you into it. He's the only thing that pulls me out of it. And I find it really jarring.
Yeah.
Like that could have just been a nobody actor or an up-and-coming actor. It didn't need to be him.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I guess, you know, if you're looking objectively, you've got to say, well, you know, it's a great opportunity. You know, Steve Merchant probably stoked on that opportunity,
yeah.
which
mm-hmm.
is
yeah,
great.
Yeah.
And, you know, you do want to support British actors and stuff, but, like, you're absolutely right. I felt similar about Martin Freeman when he started.
Yeah. I think we've talked about this before, haven't like, I hated Martin Freeman.
I mean,
he wasn't bad
now.
In the role, but yeah.
I'm still a bit like, oh, it's Martin Freeman.
When I first watched...
even Martin Freeman in The Hobbit, I still find difficult.
Oh, you know what I found difficult? When he turned up in, what's it, the Canada movie with the killing?
Oh, Fargo.
When he turned up in Fargo and he's got this Canadian accent, it's the first time I was like, come on, I know you're British. You're not fooling me. By the time I powered through that season, I think I'd adjusted to him.
I think that's the thing. You're not given enough time to adjust to him in that role because he has such small bits. You don't really see... You never get the chance for him to become Caliban for you. It's just like the small...
And he is playing a similar role to his television roles as well. Like, he doesn't change his voice
at
all.
Yeah.
He's like that kind of...
All
still,
I hear is the Ricky Gervais podcast.
Mm. Well, he's like, still bumbling, still self-deprecating, still sarcastic. You know, there's nothing different from him as a comedian.
Yeah.
Really.
No, I would say that from like an American audience perspective, it was, I would say, almost the equivalent of casting an unknown. I would say the vast majority of American audiences wouldn't know who he is.
Yeah.
So I get your point, but I really liked him in the role, actually, because again, I'm not as kind of, I've never listened to the Ricky Gervais podcast. I've only just come to know Stephen Merchant over the last couple years, really. So, but
if you haven't, I'd say get on it. it's I guess a bit of an acquired taste, but I think, you know, he's clearly got Ricky Gervais and that whole podcast and Carl Pilkington have huge fame from that podcast for a decent reason. You know, it is funny.
Yeah.
Ricky Gervais, Jeremy Clarkson and Chris Moyles is my holy trinity of least favourite celebrities.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think like Jeremy and
Chris Moyles
are like easy pickings there. And Ricky Gervais, but I don't feel personally, I see why... I'm not challenging that you don't like him, but I feel like he's in a bit of a different category to those guys.
To me, they form the foundation of every awful man in a pub baseline of banter.
All right. They're like the spectrum of awful banter.
Yeah, like at least one of those three's catchphrases will be referenced at some point in the pub on a Friday. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
absolutely. I know what you mean. No, and you know, I still not settled on whether I like Ricky Gervais as a opinion giver or not, but his earlier podcasts do have some funny moments, because I guess he was less political then as well, but now he's trying to have a big, similar to Piers Morgan, how he just jumps on everything to have a,
let's not say that man's name,
opinion.
I feel like every time his name gets said, he like, I don't know, throws a set of wings or something.
Let's move on to the rest of the cast.
Yeah. I'm hoping that Ricky Gervais's podcast, the people that listen to it, will now get our podcast recommended to them.
Oh yeah,
when it comes up.
Well, I think actually they took all their podcasts off and put them up as audiobooks, so you have to buy them now.
Figures.
Great. We should do that.
The reason we don't... Oh, yeah. Shall I retire now?
Maybe we'll make 79p one day.
That's fine.
Finally, Dr. Rice, played by Richard E. Grant.
Yeah.
That's the last cast member that I wrote down.
That's when it pulled me out a little bit.
Same thing.
Really?
I really like him. I think he's a great actor. I've really enjoyed him in other things. Mm-hmm. But when it's those really brief cameos... Because I think he's a phenomenal actor, and I've really enjoyed his previous stuff. But yeah, when it's just those brief moments, it's like, oh, it's with Nolan Eye guy.
I'd forgotten both of those were in it until I started. You know, at the start when a few of the actors' names come up in the start credits, I was like, Richard E. Grant is in this. Stephen, I was like, right. I clearly have only watched this film once, twice now.
Okay. Wow. Well. I'll kick off with a question that I asked last week, and I'm going to ask it again.
God.
Wolverine greatest portrayal of a superhero ever? Any advances on that?
Go on, Martin.
He is not.
Oh. Okay. State your case.
And I think this underlies the reason why I don't particularly like this film.
Okay.
I like it as a film. Oh, that's the stupidest way of articulating my point. I will get better at this, I promise. As this film in the wider context of a cinematic universe, I didn't enjoy it as much. And I think there's something about Wolverine and Hugh Jackman in this film that's really, like, worthy and really, like, oh, I'm too good for a normal superhero film. But actually, Wolverine as a character and Wolverine as the driving force of a major film has not delivered us a great superhero film in the same way that Iron Man or Captain America has. So if you think of the three Captain America films, although one of them isn't kind of a Captain America film, if you think of the three Iron Man films, even though they have their flaws, you can at least say one of those films, that is a great film as a superhero film. The only one that Wolverine can say is a great film is Logan, and that's when it's pushing against the fact that it's not quite a superhero film, and, oh, we've done something different, and aren't we kooky, and isn't it just... It's like, the only way that I feel like Wolverine and Logan in this film works is because it's oh, I'm different. Do you see what I mean? Like, I feel like if you look at the legacy of Iron Man and Captain America, they have been consistently good characters in majority good films, whereas Wolverine's been a consistently good character in average or bad films, and I think that's why he's not up there compared to the others for me.
Interesting.
Wow. Well thought.
I know. It's rare.
The case has been heard.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think that he's... I'm still struggling with whether this was... I think it's a good movie. But I don't know whether I think that he's the greatest portrayal of a superhero ever. And I think, as well, the one thing that Wolverine has in his favour that maybe someone like a Tony Stark or a Captain America doesn't have yet is he's played him at so many different points in his life. He's played the same character existing in, like, a 100 years time span and, like, loads of different situations as well. So I think an equivalent that comes to mind is, say, like, Harry Potter. And I know he's a teenager, but everyone else in that Harry Potter movie that lasted throughout, like, the 7 or 8 of them, however many there were, played pretty much the same character within the same short time span. And the character, yes, had development, but didn't really change their circumstances too much. So they were just playing the same character over and over and over, really. Where I think Wolverine, Hugh Jackman's Logan here, has been played... You know, we've seen him in the war, we've seen him in, like, the early 2000s, we've seen him now in the, like, 2050s or whatever, and we've seen him in Japan, and we've seen him do these different phases.
I'm not convinced you get the same experience with him in comparison to Captain America, who's been in the 40s, and we had a whole film with him there, and then coming into present day, and then slightly in the future slash alternative universe with all the Stark tech. I think that's a much more... interesting exploration of a character feeling slightly out of depth or having a big hangover history behind them than Wolverine ever gave us. Wolverine, yeah, he plays the kind of damaged, war-weathered personality, but you don't get as much colour or detail or exploration or depth on that as you do with Captain America, I don't think. I don't think the consequences of time happen as... are as well conceived with Wolverine as they are with Captain America.
I would actually agree with a lot of that, except, like, in the context of this film, I think you make a really interesting point in that. I think you're right. I don't think this is a superhero film, and I think it is actually a really interesting question. Like, is Wolverine a superhero? And I think you could make the argument that, like, he isn't. Like, he is just a man who has this ability, and how he's chosen to use it could kind of tilt him a bit into more of the category of the kind of superhero, Avenger type character. But to call him a superhero does feel a bit strange. It doesn't fit in the same way that when you refer to Iron Man who still is like full of flaws and doubts and issues. The difference is, though, I think this one in particular, I would actually really argue against that you don't feel kind of the weight of time on him in this. And I think seeing this is the thing that really drove home to me how much was missing out of something like The Wolverine, where it was just this kind of constant thing of like this need of, you know, show me, don't tell me, where in The Wolverine you had Jean keep showing up in hallucinations to remind us, like, don't forget, he's mourning, he's sad, he's thinking about Jean. Whereas in this, and Logan, like, her name didn't come up, but, like, I really did feel like in watching his portrayal in Logan in this film, it was the weight of those years, that loss, and I really felt that you could see kind of what the burden of this would do to a man. Kind of, again, in the same way we talked about in Wolverine Origins, and we felt like there was a missed opportunity when they showed him going through these years of war. The end result didn't really seem to make sense. Like, the person he was in Wolverine Origins, like, doesn't seem like someone who came with that backstory. Whereas in this, I really felt like it did. And I think that's the first time that kind of really gelled for me. And I thought that he did such a good job of portraying that pain and weight and burden. So I think it is an interesting question.
But I think for me, it's that you had to take him out of the circumstances of a superhero film for us to feel that. Whereas I think we get it with other characters in a superhero film.
Yeah.
I think that's the difference for me.
Yeah, so I guess two points then. Are we seeing a broadening of what the term superhero film is? I remember a few years ago now, there was, you know, a lot of conversation about, well, how sustainable, you know, when's the trend of superhero movies going to die off, essentially? But one great counterpoint that I read at the time was, well, it's not really got it's got the potential to go forever because it's kind of a new genre of movies. Like, especially the way that Marvel have done it, a superhero movie can be Iron Man or it can be Avengers or it can be like Guardians of the Galaxy, which are they're all movies about superheroes, but the genre of those movies is kind of rapidly different. I think that's the same with this for me as well, is that it's like it's a comic book superhero movie, but it's just the genre of it is that whole different, weird, futuristic setting, old guy not really busting out his superhero bits anymore sort of vibe. And but I think it still fits in that whole category of superhero movies for me. But.
Yeah, and it'd have been great if, you know, someone had an overarching vision for Wolverine like they did with the MCU, because in that instance, wouldn't it have been great if Origins felt like an origin story, like truly the Wolverine was really hyper, you know, hyper real, had, you know, we talked about it not really being very stylistic, but, you know, had more manga elements or animation, you know, all that kind of stuff. And this one was your kind of, I felt like it was almost like a Western.
Dystopian definitely.
Western, Westworld sort of thing. You know, if, like you say, Logan's had lots of different iterations and you could have just treated each of them like really different, distinct things. But I think we didn't get a point of view stylistically until the last one.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of lost.
Do you think if it was like day zero to year 2000, but we had the knowledge of Marvel and they orchestrated it all again, do you think Wolverine would be the Iron Man that kind of kicks it off and that his storyline is central to it throughout, and he gets sort of, we check in on him with his own movie every now and again and all the troubles on his shoulders of everything that's happening? Or do you think he'd be the Captain America, where he's maybe not the originator of it all, but actually he's the one that sort of brings everything together? Which,
you know what, that would be a great series of films. And like if they did X-Men like they had done the Avengers, oh, that'd been so, and they all came together. What could have been?
And I think you'd have a few very distinct. I think your team up movies would be slightly different, because I don't think you'd have solo movies building up to an X-Men movie, but I think you'd probably. I'd hope, if I was fantasy movie universe creating, you'd definitely have like a Logan strand of movies. And then I think you might even have like a Mystique or a Magneto line of movies.
Yeah, because that's what you need. Like the way the MCU sort of has the courage to kind of pick and choose. Well, I say courage. They have like the backing and the trust of their viewers now. Like in Captain America, they don't need anyone in there. Everyone in there. They had Black Widow to sort of be like the team up of that, and then kind of bring in Scarlet Witch and some other people in the later films. But yeah, I think something like that could have been really good for X-Men. Mm. But like at the time X-Men came out, like that was such a new film, like that it didn't have like the trust that they could really make it at the box office, that it would pull people in. And I think Wolverine is a bit of a tricky character to be a thread for those types of films. I really love him, and he's magnetic. Like we've said before, he's interesting. He's not the easiest character to relate to. Like, in the same way that you can see the way, like, Tony's bravado and the kind of, like, aspirations he has. Like, that's something to kind of seize on a bit, and there's something really fun about watching that. And you got Captain America, his sort of ideology, like, all that. But Wolverine, there really hasn't been anything that's really come out through him. Like, what is it? Like, what is it about that character that makes you want to really root for him? And I think people do, but it's kind of undefinable. Like, it's not as easy to sort of like put your finger on why him,
which is why I think he's always rescuing a woman.
Yeah,
because that's why you need to root for him, because he's saving someone else.
Yeah,
actually he needs to save himself.
So coming on to that, then, we talked about this in the other episode as well, and it's you know, we're kind of ending a trilogy, so it's okay to visit the same themes, right? But we sort of discussed, does he always have to be saving a woman to exist? And that's pretty much what he's done in every movie. So in this one, it's still kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's I guess nodded to that it's his daughter, but the male female relationship is still there, and that whole, I guess, paternal figure that we've maybe seen in previous movies as well is kind of still there.
Yeah.
Do you have any new hot takes on that? Do you think it's developed any more in this movie?
I liked in this one that for a huge stretch of it, he was very resistant to taking that on. Didn't want anything to do with her. Very much just wanted to get him and Charles onto that Sunseeker and leave it all behind.
Oh, yeah. Rogue was like, left the side of the road for 2 minutes and he was back. Oh, final help.
Yeah, exactly. And I think there's a really powerful moment as well during the scene where the Wolverine clone has like killed everyone in the farmhouse, and he's got Laura in that chain thing, he's holding her, and Wolverine's just sort of frozen, like kind of looking at him. And there's a moment where he's like, Logan kind of looks at Laura, but he makes the choice to go to Charles. Like, he leaves her. Like, I don't know if it was like, I'll come back for her later or what, but like, he doesn't know. Like, he made the choice to not fight whatever the hell this thing is that's holding this girl, and go upstairs and make sure that Charles is okay. And I think, and then for a really long time, he was really pushing against that savior thing that we've seen him in previous films. And I thought that was an interesting new thread.
And I think it's also interesting that actually if he's saving someone in this film, it's Charles over the girl, isn't it? So, and I also think it's interesting that he's obviously been doing that for quite a long time as well. So in these films, it's almost like, right, for the next hour and a half of this film, I'm going to be saving this girl, and that's what I'm going to do. But after that, she's either going to die or move away, or something's going to happen that'll tear us apart. Whereas in this, you got a sense that he'd been looking after Charles ever since he killed all the other X-Men.
Supposedly.
Well, yeah, I skirted over a little bit. So I thought that was quite interesting, that the person that he'd spent the longest time looking after was Charles. So I quite like that. But the girl, yeah, I was surprised that he didn't immediately kind of, yeah, like, want to look after her, because that's all we've ever known of him, is, yeah, going to Rogue, looking after her straight away, or Jean, or Mariko. You know, his instinct is to, like, save the girl.
Yeah.
And in this one, he didn't, and that felt out of step. But maybe that's because he had Charles.
I think it's sort of like, I think that's like a big storyline thing in this, and a sign of where he's come from and the situation that he's in, though, because he's been through so much in his life, and we've seen in all the movies how he's dealt with loss, and how, you know, he's kind of been very owned the fact that you wouldn't want to live forever, be invincible. And like, Charles is like the only thing still around that ties him back to anyone else. So that's, I think, why he's trying to fight so hard to keep Charles around, is like, mm-hmm. that's the only thing that grounds any of his memories or his history, is mm-hmm. is his link to the X-Men, which are clearly all gone. And I think that Laura represents like a new thing that he has to get involved yeah. with. And he's very much like, he's accepted that he kind of wants to die, yeah. I guess. Yeah.
He's in yeah. retirement, right?
And he's definitely yeah. sort of accepting that that seems like it's going to happen. You know, his powers have stopped working. So it's almost like if he gets involved with her, then he's just got another thing that he has to stay alive for. And he seems sort of over that.
Yeah.
Which is... It's, you know, it's kind of heartbreaking for him as a character and to watch, but I think as well it's really sad, the whole Charles Xavier stuff.
Oh man,
yeah,
it's like, just, oh, it's brutal. Like, it's absolutely brutal to, I mean, it was such a sort of interesting look at kind of like degenerative disease anyway, like if he's suffering from dementia, Alzheimer's, like what that does to a person anyway. But then if you're the person who has the ability to hurt people with your brain, I thought that was such an interesting dynamic, and I really, really like felt it really wrenching as well, to sort of have that, those mind quake things he did was sort of a poison version of his previous ability to just freeze people in their place, like without harming them, to then for it to be a destructive force. It was really interesting.
I think having watched the three X-Men films and then these, we've talked quite a lot about like Charles always being carried,
yeah.
like always needing someone else to, so yeah. I'm looking forward in the next three when I think he's got a bit more agency and a bit more kind of
definitely
balls,
yeah,
that, well, he's got balls now, but you know, they need to be carried, but like
not separately, as part, he also needs
yeah,
to be carried.
I don't think
along with his balls,
I don't think I'd have picked up on that if we hadn't watched all of them in succession.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, it was a shame. Like, I liked the kind of dementia elements, but it was also like, I don't know. I just feel that we haven't really had Charles Xavier being like, I'm not sure we've had full representation of
peak
like
Charles.
Yeah, powerful Charles. Like, yeah, agency Charles.
Yeah,
like,
he's always seems to be like needing at someone else's help, and as like the only disabled character, that feels a bit of a waste.
So do you think if we had it, if we had watched this in like kind of sequential release order, so if this film was after the whole James McAvoy Xavier run, do you think you'd feel differently about this portrayal?
I mean, it's been a while since I've watched the other three, so it's hard to say, so maybe we can chat about it at the end of the next three. But I don't know, like, I think he has got a bit more, I don't know, fight to him?
Yeah.
Spunk? I don't know. Yeah, he feels more present in those films, I think.
Yeah.
I think I kind of feel like that with the comics as well, though, is that he's never... And there will be comics out there where he does it, but the ones that I've read, not so much. But he's very much a... what's the term used, like, soft power sort of guy. You know, he doesn't really ever stand up and do what needs to be done. He very much trusts in the X-Men to get
it. He manipulates them into doing it.
Yeah.
So yeah.
He's never, like, first out the gate, is he? In a fight.
No.
Even though he could be. Like, he has the power to just, like, kind of wipe people out, but
yeah,
he doesn't.
Anybody Storm and Scott Summers to, like, get beaten up in the train station where he could just freeze everyone and get it over and done with.
Oh, well.
Lazy bastard.
So it's kind of hinting on the comics there, Martin. You're you're an expert in Wolverine comics after your recent after your recent reading of the Wolverine pocketbook.
Yeah.
So in this movie we see the really meta moment where comic books appear in the movie. Like actual Wolverine / X-Men comic books appear in the movie. That the children in the movie seem to believe in and believe that these people exist and believe that Wolverine exists in that yellow spandex form as well.
I wish he did.
and then, the, you know, she meets Logan and guess I kind of is... He has to sort of deal with that he's not the hero that they believe in, I guess. I mean, he is, you know, but... How do you feel about the comics inclusion in this, given you're such a expert now?
Right, well, that feels fake. I think it was really interesting, and I liked, I think Logan had a line which was something like, it was something about there not being that many times that they actually did anything together.
Oh, that was such a great line. I think he said something along the lines of 90% of the time it didn't happen, and the 10% that it didn't happen like this.
Yeah. So you can sense the idea that actually maybe New York and the events in San Francisco and maybe a handful of others actually happened in the real world. Mm. And then the rest was... And we see a bit of it in the MCU as well, don't we? Where people are asking for autographs and all that kind
Tony
of stuff.
Tony, I'm a mask.
Yeah.
So I think I quite like that reference to it. Yeah, give or take it, really. Yeah. Right.
I thought it was quite good. I like that element that there was a certain level of kind of fandom around these guys. Like, even the bad guy, Pierce... He, you know, he says, like, I'm a fan. Like, I loved him as a villain. Like, I thought he was fantastic.
Brilliant.
But he was, like, he seemed, like, actually jazzed to be around Wolverine. And he's like, I'd love to meet, you know, Professor X. And I did like that element because it's so easy. Like, yeah, of course that pisses Wolverine off. There's no way that him as a character and who he is would want anything to do with, like, stardom or being recognized as a hero. That is not who he is. But I thought it was also a kind of nice, kind of like a confrontation moment where you had to actually sort of, because the team is never mentioned. Like, they never say anyone's name, really. Mm. They don't talk about, like, their loss or who's gone and all that stuff.
The whole movie is vague.
Yeah. I love when they just don't spoon feed us with, I mean, like, even when the evil Dr. Grant guy was doing his evil monologue.
His name's Dr. Rice.
Dr. Rice. When he was doing his evil monologue, like filling us on all the exposition about why there are not any X-Men left, he got shot in the head. I was like, yes! Way to play against trope. That was amazing.
That was pretty cool.
Can we talk about everyone dying at some point? The X-Men, just like everyone in the film dying.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Let's just get straight on with it. I was just going to repeat what you said. It didn't matter.
Sorry. No. I'm really taking over, aren't I? Honestly, give me one segment and I get positive feedback. I'm like, right, my turn.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I'm all good. I think the only question I was really going to say was, I didn't even really ever understand the bad guy's sort of motives throughout the whole thing. Mm. Like, we know that they wanted to that they'd previously done something to get rid of all the mutants, I guess.
Yes, that was really
but
interesting.
Did they want to kill Charles? Did they just want to capture him?
I don't think they wanted to kill Charles. I don't think they had anything to do with Wolverine or him. They'd be very happy to let him go on their way.
They made an allusion to, like, poisoning the water or something?
Yeah, so that was such an interesting thing. So the actual... So the from the monologue and a couple places here and there that was alluded to, it actually was corn syrup, the stuff that was in, like, all the fizzy drinks and everything.
That was it. Yeah.
They'd sort of, like, put in this thing that didn't... It was unclear if it killed mutants or just sort of sterilized them or something. Like, it kind of... It repressed the mutants.
So I guess that serum that we saw in X3...
Yeah.
They'd somehow just filtered it into the water system.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to inject
something like that. Because their plan then was to sort of wipe the world of mutants and then create their own for their own purposes.
Yeah.
So...
Like an army.
Yeah, and I mean, I can only assume that at some point mutants probably were hunted, like, actually to be exterminated, but I didn't get the sense that Pierce was showing up because, like, Wolverine and Professor X were on, like, the hit list.
Mm.
Also, because Caliban makes reference to the fact that he used to work for an organization like this, like, hunting mutants down, so I guess that used to be a part of it, but...
So did it, but then it's still the victim. Did Charles kill all the mutants? Did they kill all the mutants?
I think he killed the X-Men.
I think he killed the X-Men in Winchester.
And then I think the rest just died off naturally.
Yeah, died off naturally. Got hunted to a certain degree, I think. But yeah, I think their main thing was, like, almost just like recovery of an asset. They didn't want Laura and the rest of the kids out there running amok.
In the wild.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm. Interesting. So, killing. This is what you want to talk about.
So
there is lots of claws going through lots of skulls.
I thought the violence was awesome. I thought it was so well done. Just, like, kind of right from the beginning. Like, in the first 5 minutes, you're like, oh, it's going to be that kind of movie. Mm. And there were definitely times where I was like, oh, that's a bit much. When it was, like, the good versus evil Wolvie fight in the farm. Like when, oh my God, when he like stabs him like through the armpit, like
oh,
into
yeah.
his
here.
Chest.
Here.
When do you think, I was really confused. So in that bit, there's kind of shaved kind of crew cut
yeah.
young virile Wolverine in like a black tank top
yeah.
fighting like weathered old yeah. I'm gonna die Wolverine, but both Hugh Jackman
yeah.
So when do you think both of those respective parts were filmed, because surely like
God.
Could you make him over to look that young?
Yeah, they've gotten better with that aging down tech, haven't they?
Okay.
So, plus it was dark
yeah, and it was a little bit uncanny valley Wolverine as well,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like you could tell it was Hugh Jackman, but they'd clearly done something to.
That's why they built
represent
up the facial hair as well to kind of cover yeah. up as much of his face as possible.
It was a Wolverine that we've never seen before in the movies.
Yeah,
do you know
yeah.
what I mean?
I quite liked mutant Wolverine with his tank top on.
And I didn't get whether I like he was a clone, but I didn't know. I was wondering whether he's friggin' like cyborg at one bit.
Well, he was very like robotic.
Yeah,
and he could, like,
had
see
no
through
emotion.
His eyes and
yeah.
stuff as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, and from that amazingly well-produced iPhone espionage video that the nurse put together,
oh, yeah.
there are points where you saw like full arms and
movie.
Tanks and stuff. That sort of
yeah, like, oh yeah, it was very like vegan meat. Do you know what I mean?
Exposed.
Like, it was
yeah.
like, you know, like the
Peter
replacement.
In the factory.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's 2029, so I can only assume that Premiere Pro at this stage is just
oh,
like
yeah.
amazing.
Oh no, I was sorry. I was thinking more like, you know, like the meatless burgers.
Oh,
like,
they've
oh.
grown him like a meatless
yeah,
burger.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's how they were growing the arms. Was like that. That's the whole reason they existed, was to build replacement arms
okay.
for people.
Ah, gotcha.
I did. That's the kind of way I was going with that whole facility.
I thought that, you know, when like, people go in and film like cruelty to animals, then
oh,
they
yeah.
come out and
it definitely
it.
Had that feel. Didn't it?
Shock.
Yeah. Sorry for that tangent of sexy Wolverine.
But then there's other people dying, more serious
well,
deaths.
Yeah, I mean, so I liked it at the start, and I'm a big horror movie fan, and I like gore generally. But what I felt is that like it was really extreme all of the time.
Yeah.
And I thought the end fight, where he's just like, he's obviously really mad, really frustrated on his, you know, last, this is his last kind of stand, his last battle.
The last stand was a few minutes.
Oh, yeah. But the violence there was so severe. Like, he was like ripping off people's skulls. Like, really, like not, he wasn't going to kill people. You know, he wasn't going straight for the heart. He was going for just pure rage, pure damage. And at that point, like, violence generally can make me feel a bit queasy, and I felt at that point I was like, I've lost my sincerity towards this character. I can completely understand rage and everything that's happened to him over how many hundred years he's come alive, but the extreme detail and horrendousness of the violence in that scene really turned me off Wolverine. So, you know, we were talking a bit ago about how do we root for him? What's his cause? How do we connect with him? That removed any.
Interesting.
Because he didn't feel like he was trying to save the girl. It felt like he was trying to hurt people in the most violent way. And that was the point of that part of the film where I kind of had enough of him being horrible to people.
See, I kind of got it at the end, because I was like, he's been fighting this whole anti-mutants fight for so many years of his life, and he's lost like all of his friends to it and loads of other people that are not his friends. He's seen loads of people die for that anti-mutant fight. And I guess, you know, he was hopped upon his little green juice and it's like, I guess he knows he's going to die, and they're continuing to do atrocities, so it's his final moment of rage. So I get that. But the bit that felt... It looked awesome, and I'm so glad they did it. But the bit that fell out of character for me was, like, earlier in the movie, the guys who shot him and were trying to steal his car.
Yeah.
When he, like, mauled them.
Yeah.
Like,
it was so brutal.
He would never have done that. Or at least in previous movies, we haven't seen him do that. You know, he'd scare them, and then they'd leave.
Yeah. But we always see... I think we're used to people using their powers really reluctantly.
Yeah.
Like, we've grown up with, like... but we've had spent a lot of time with people like Scarlet Witch who really don't want to use their powers, and then we come to this and yeah, like you say, like someone just carjacking, you would expect one of our superheroes to just like use their powers to like get the guns off them, disarm them, disable them, not chop
rage.
Bits of them off like
heads.
It just felt really, I think you could have done a rated R treatment of violence without having to change Wolverine's kind of morals. I think that's what the difference felt like in this.
I think I kind of read it a bit as, because something they haven't really gone too much in depth with his previous films, I think mostly because they're not rated R. Wolverine is a character in comics in particular. The thing that gets brought up a lot is he can fall into a berserker rage where he is blacked out and just freaking tears people apart. And so I kind of saw that as, particularly with the really intense carjacking attack, that he really is starting to lose his grip a bit. And it, I think it's another reason that's motivating him to wanting to end his life. So I saw that as like the berserker really coming out too easily.
That's a good point. You just like, as well with the end, he's healing a lot slower.
So much slower.
So he needs to inflict more damage a lot quicker. Rather than carrying on fights, you know, if he'd have carried that on, they could have easily... He's not the tank he used to be.
And I think there was a really nice moment in the cabin as well, like right before the final battle where he's talking with Laura and she's found the bullet. And for a moment, he's trying to be like, oh, I keep that to remind myself. I was going to shoot myself. Like, he kind of gives up on just, like, trying to hide it. And when they're talking about, like, their nightmares, and she talks about, like, people are hurting me in my nightmares, and he says, in my nightmares, I'm hurting other people. So I think all the violence throughout that is he has lost control on how he used to be able to fight well and capably. And I imagine he's just in pain. He's being poisoned by his own body.
I guess I didn't quite get that from the film. And I'm not saying it needs to be as explicit as this, but you know, like in Kill Bill, where she hears like she'll be listening in, and then she'll hear the sound of one of the assassins, and it'll go and she'll turn red, and she'll go into that extreme rage. And I'm not saying that needed
to
happen.
You love a little Kill Bill. You're always referencing Kill Bill.
Well, my Kill Bill special will be I'm joking. That'd be like the quickest podcast. See, we're gonna watch Kill Bill from the very beginning.
Do Tarantino movies because there is a running thread, isn't there?
I couldn't do it.
But yeah, I just needed a bit more of a visual clue than others. But
yeah, I guess, Jimmy, I feel like there was a lot in this movie that, like, if the groundwork had been laid in other films, so much of it would have been more impactful. But I gotta say, this movie, like, so this is only the second time I've watched it. I watched it in the cinema, and then I've watched it now, and, like, really hit me. Like, I devastated when Charles died, and the final bit, as flipping cheesy as it is, when Laura picks up that cross and turns it to an X.
Bad man.
I just can't. Like, it just I had proper tears in the cinema, and I got really choked up last night, dude.
I.
Well, it's not canon, so you know they're all still alive.
I didn't feel as much emotional weight to it. I think for me, it's probably because I think I'm used to getting lots of visual clues from other people on how to feel, and I think because I wasn't really connected to Laura, like in the Avengers, like if four of the Avengers are sad, I am sad. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Like, and because Wolverine is sad about Charles, and his sadness again came out in kind of rage. And I don't equate sadness and rage as the same kind of emotions for me. So they didn't hit as heavy for me, but I'm glad that I'm glad that it.
Like when she calls him like daddy and gets like all.
Oh
sad.
No! Stop it!
What about the little shitbag kid? The guy the like the ringleader of the kids.
Oh, Richter, he's nice.
He's like the Peter Pan, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he's like, you're just here for money. This is what you want. Fuck off, Wolverine.
They've been treated horribly their entire life.
They're not
going to
trust adults, are they? They're only going to trust Mexican female nurses.
The guy would come in and blow out their birthday candles and be like, no fun for you.
So it's like Dan trying to quit sugar. Imagine busted into...
No fun for you!
Busted into TGI Fridays. You're going to get diabetes. You're going to get high cholesterol.
My style is to show people... through my actions, not tell people what to do.
It's funny because you've been telling us non-stop for 5 days
about what I'm doing. It's good fucking content. But get on my highlights.
I'm glad it had emotional resonance for someone. Did you find it emotional?
I didn't,
because you're a big Wolverine fan.
I didn't find it like tear jerking. And I don't mind a cry at a movie. I cry at like a theme tune.
Endgame.
You know what I mean?
Endgame.
Oh, not even like not even that sort of stuff, but like, you know, just a nice music is what gets me. If the music is tight.
I thought the score was amazing in
that's
this
where and this music was tight, but it wasn't tear jerky music.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, it didn't have those big emphatic moments that make you go but it was emotional. But I don't know, a lot of it was just, it's such a heavy movie.
It's very heavy.
And I was at one point near the end where they're fighting at the end and he's on the tree. He's got the stake for him.
Blech.
And I was like, it feels like Charles Xavier dying was like 3 movies ago. Do you know what I mean? It feels like that was so long ago in this story. Which they packed a lot into it, but it just, it's a slog. And I think when movies become a slog, I switch off and I stop with the emotion. The other one that really gets me like that is the end of The Lord of the Rings, the end of the third one.
Oh, well, there's like 19 million different endings.
Yeah. but the really emotional bit, spoilers for a different franchise, turn off right now, we've got Lord of the Rings spoiling. But the end bit where Frodo and Gandalf and Bilbo all sail off into the elfy death space is meant to be really sad and emotional. But because it's at the end of like 4 hours of movie, I'm like, okay, I just want the story.
I'm not
here for the emotions anymore. I'm just here for the story. And that's kind of how I felt with this.
Fair enough.
And when she turns the X, I'm like, oh, Logan.
Well, I watched the last Resident Evil earlier this week.
Cry.
Well, it was 1 hour 36 minutes.
Oh wow!
So I was like, "Oh, it's over. This is great." I had no.
Our podcasts would be longer than the movie.
I had no emotional hangover from that. It was fine.
Great. So, any final thoughts?
No, I will just do a quick plug for one of my favorite YouTube channels. How it should have ended.
Plug it. I'm not allowed to talk about Sugar Free.
#spawn #ad. I know.
Let's.
But I'm only gonna say this for the proper Wolvie fans
YouTube.
Out there.
Not even the same platform as us.
I know. But those, I'm just saying.
We should
this.
Do YouTube.
Oh.
We should do, but live stream or like film. Oh God, no one watch that. Anyway, the only reason I'm bringing this up is for any fans that feel like they've been betrayed by our like. Slightly cavalier, callous feelings towards Wolverine.
What?
Martin.
I think it's a great movie.
The only thing I would say is like, so they do a how movies should have ended animation treatment, and they do this most amazing mashup of Logan and Les Mis of like Wolverine singing this song, going into like X-Men heaven. It is hysterical and surprisingly emotional. And if you feel you didn't get your catharsis listening to this pod, I'd recommend you go watch it.
And subscribe to them while you're at it.
No, why not?
And then delete us from
your
iTunes library.
Slide them up to their Patreon.
Follow
them on Instagram.
Great.
Why not? Honestly.
Jeez, come on, yeah.
Come on. I said we could support other people's art on this podcast.
Are they going to support ours?
Probably not.
Tip for tap.
Fine. You can cut that whole bit out if you want, Dad.
No, we'll leave it in. I think interesting, certainly. And...
That was a hilarious face.
I don't know whether it's right to ask the should it stay or should it go question now, because well, they decided that it goes because it's not a canon movie. So this isn't the
X-Men
story.
Is it definitely not a canon movie?
Yeah, this is just
because of Deadpool or
no, this is just art movie.
I thought it was. I thought it was supposed to come kind of like after the kind of so timeline's rebooted in Days of Future Past. But I thought this was the ending of that rebooted timeline.
My understanding, and I may be wrong, please fact check me, was this is not canon.
Okay.
And it's just a what-if scenario movie.
Yeah, that sucks.
Which kind of makes sense because they've created a definitive point in time by Charles Xavier killing all of the X-Men.
That's true.
And Wolverine dying by doing it.
Yeah.
Which is... I see why it's non-canon.
Yeah, fair enough.
So is the question, does it stay or go in the universe, or does it stay and go as the film existing ever?
I think it stay or go as the film exists as ever.
Yeah.
Existing.
So, I can't remember who we usually start with, but I think... I want to end on a high note, so...
No, this film existing by itself is a good film.
Mm. Yeah.
I just think we know what a superhero trilogy can be.
Yeah.
And having just finished watching these three films, I think it's a slight cop out to end on a Logan's really reverent and amazing.
Anna?
Ah, stays for me. Loved it.
Stays for me as well. Good movie, and I do think it rounds things off really nice for Wolverine's story. It's, you know, I think if Iron Man gets a conclusion like this, we'll all, not necessarily a death one, but really nice, what I feel like is an ending to his story.
Gotcha, yeah.
I think we'll all be satisfied. But who
I'm nervous.
Knows I'm nervous. What's going to happen. Okay, that is it for today's show, everyone. Thank you very much for staying this long, for tuning in the first place. Head over to our Instagram, Martin.
A Marvelous Lunch Break.
To see Anna chatting, to see Martin chatting, to see me smiling, all of that stuff. We'll be back in a fortnight's time.
Fortnight.
2 weeks'
fortnight
time for,
the
for what?
We're restarting the X-Men universe with First Class.
But
don't we have another little we already have done we already have recorded our Captain Marvel podcast
and aired it.
Wow,
so listen to it, it's awesome.
Great,
we're getting our own timelines mixed up.
Days of Future podcast. That's all we fucking need. Okay, so the Captain Marvel movie coming out destroyed the timeline, so therefore this will be getting aired after Captain Marvel.
Yeah, we posted Captain Marvel 2 weeks ago.
Great. So.
We've got to stop.
I loved that movie.
Okay, great.
Setting your stall out.
And what I'll do is I'll record another one now just in case it's terrible. That movie was a piece of trash. What a letdown. Endgame's going to fail. Okay? Brush over that bit. So join us in 2 weeks' time then for our X-Men First Days of Future Class.
First Class.
Podcast.
I've only seen this film once, I think.
Ooh, I'm really looking forward to rewatching it.
It was it's an ITV regular. So just turn on the channel on a weekend, you probably watch X-Men First Class. We've got like a whole new cast.
Yeah.
Loads of new people to talk about. Full reboot mode.
Hell yeah.
So I'm very excited to watch that. Any final words for anyone?
Thanks for listening. Michelle, get back in touch. Everyone else, we're still desperate to hear your feedback on our multiple platforms.
Well, goodbye.
Are we going to say our Instagram?
Oh, do you want your... Oh, no, my God.
Fine. It's fine. Bye.
Come on, Dan. You're in charge.
I'm not allowed to plug my Instagram, and no one else is allowed to plug theirs. Okay, Anna.
We're going to have to edit this ending. This is the total clusterfuck.
Nah, I'll leave it in. Anna, if listeners want more of you in between now and then, where can they find you?
On Instagram, Anna Marvelous, 2 N's, 2 L's.
And Martin?
Twitter and Instagram at Martin Loves.
And I am on Instagram at DVM Preston. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. Have a wonderful fortnight and goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Any post-credits?
There is not.
There's no post-credits.
Really, like, you know, definitive sort of, like, done, end.
Yeah, I mean, how do you follow up?
I would like to just see, like, a Charles hand coming out of the grave.
A Charles hand?
Yeah.
Not a Wolverine hand. Not
or just
a single
like some
claw.
I'd like to see two claws and then one that doesn't quite make it out. Like a three-quarter claw.
Oh, that was a potentially really rough euphemism for something else going on in his life. But anyway.
I think it's time to end the podcast.
I'm not getting that euphemism.
Right.
You can explain to me afterwards. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.